Hello, everybody. My name is Joe Vargas, and you're listening to My Swift Journey podcast, my adventures of becoming an iOS developer. How you doing, everybody? It's Joe. It is Saturday, September 10th at 9:11. Welcome back. Welcome back to, this would be episode 4. I'm really, really excited for this one because actually these first two talking points, I came across them when I was recording episode 3. And I wanted to put those talking points into that episode, but I knew it was going to be like 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes of me talking about those two topics. So I saved them for episode 4. I'm really excited to talk about them because it's happening to me and I'm pretty sure it's happening to a few of you out there trying to look for your first software development role in the industry with no college education. And no experience. You come from, you know, zero experience in the industry, and that can be frustrating when you're trying to land that first job. So I'm really happy to talk about these two talking points. So let me kick it off and speak to the recruiters, the hiring managers. If you're listening to this, or if you're one who is job searching, and if you know a friend or a family member who is a hiring manager or a recruiter, I hopefully can feel confident to share this with them because this is for them. I recently came across this post by a, and I'm probably gonna butcher her last name, but I'll try not to. Is her name is Bridget Hyacinth. Her last name is spelled H-Y-A-C-I-N-T-H. Bridget Hyacinth. Apologies if I'm butchering your last name. But she is a keynote speaker and an author of Leading the Workforce of the Future. And I guess somebody who I follow posted this or shared it out, and it landed on my feed. And Bridget posted, and I quote, 30 interviews and no one hired. Yet another friend telling me she cannot find good talent. My thinking is, if you interviewed 30 people and did not hire someone, maybe it's time to start looking in the mirror. The problem is many recruiters and hiring managers are searching for the perfect candidate. Newsflash, there is no perfect candidate. If you have someone with the right attitude and skill set and they fit in with the team, why not hire them? There are so many qualified individuals still job searching. Yet I see the same jobs being reposted over and over again, being left vacant for months. Who took a chance on you? Maybe it's time you took a chance on someone. End quote. When I first read that, I could not help but literally get off my seat and applaud this lady. She gave a voice to you and I. She basically expressed on how I feel and how many of you all out there feel of learning a skill set without the, you know, going through the traditional educational system. We learned a skill set that we want to use professionally, and people, recruiters and hiring managers look over us or just push our resume to the side simply because we did not have the educational training and certifications that prove that, hey, you know, we have this skill set and we're confident and we're eager to land a role that will let us use these skills. And Bridget, she pretty much, and I hope that, you know, many recruiters and hiring managers follow her, because I hope they have an open mind to give people a chance, to give people the opportunity to show that they have not, maybe they don't have 100% of the skills that these hiring managers are looking for, but if they have the ambition, if they're goal driven, and if they're just excited to learn and work and just be given the opportunity of not proving them wrong that they can't do the job simply because they're not, you know, 100% the quote unquote ideal candidate or the perfect candidate. But hey, if they got the drive, if they've got the, you know, passion of wanting to take on this role because they're confident they can do so, give them a chance. Give people like you and I a chance to show that we can overcome the, you know, probably the obstacle or the basically prove you wrong. That, and in the end, think that, okay, I was, you know, wrong about you. I didn't think you have all the skill sets that we were looking for, but you know what? I'm glad you proved me wrong, and I'm really glad that we hired you, because look how far you've come. You proved us wrong. Not only did you prove us wrong, but you excelled. You excelled. You exceeded our expectations on the type of employee we were looking for, and we couldn't be more happier to bring you on board. Now, allow me to touch on a point here that Bridget made, where she said, there are many qualified individuals still job searching, yet I see the same jobs being reposted over and over again, being left vacant for months. About a year ago, I want to say August, September of 2019, when I got a little bit more confident in applying for iOS development jobs. Now, I wasn't like, you know, aiming for the higher up type of roles. You got to stay in your lane, basically. I knew what lane I was in, and that lane would be a junior or entry level positions. Well, I found this role in what seems like an aviation company located in South Houston. It didn't specify what level of they were looking for, of what level iOS developer they were looking for. So I applied, and I never heard back. And that just pretty much gave me an idea that maybe they weren't looking for an entry level person like me. And I found another role. And this time it was in the medical field. And I applied for that one too. They had a very vigorous hiring or application process, which probably took me about 40 minutes to go through, but I applied for it. And I never heard back from them as well. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll just move on. I'll be patient and look for other roles. Who knows? Maybe they have a lot of applicants that they're going through right now and they haven't found mine, or they haven't gotten to mine yet. And, maybe I'll hear from them later on. Well, a few weeks went by, a couple of months went by, and I didn't hear anything. And So I started applying to other jobs, obviously. But then in my job search feed, I saw the same two roles still being still vacant, basically. I saw a listing, and it was a fresh listing. You see, these job search apps or websites, they literally put a timestamp of how long ago that job post was put on. And at the time, the second time around, when I saw these same two roles being posted, I saw that they were, 16 hours ago, 15 hours ago, that they were just posted. And I was like, interesting. So I reapplied to the same two, and it was just coincidental that these two roles, maybe within about a week and a half from each other, one posted, and then a week and a half later, the other company posted that they were looking for iOS developers. And I applied again. The one in the medical field, it was quite easier because they, during the application process, they have you sign up, create an account, sign up, and just fill out the application, upload your resume, so on and so forth. So the medical field one was quite easier because they already had my information. All I had to do was just simply apply for the one role. And again, days went by, weeks went by. I didn't hear a word from them, either one. And about a few weeks later, gosh, I'm trying to put a time frame here. Maybe a month and a half later, 2 months later, I saw the same two companies post this role again. And now, from the original time that I saw them posting these roles, again, this was around August, September of 2019. The second or third time around that I saw them post, now we're talking about January, February time of 2020. Now, when I read Bridget's post of jobs being posted or reposted over and over again, being left vacant for months, two things come to mind. One, they are looking for a candidate, like the perfect candidate, and they cannot seem to find this perfect candidate. And Bridget's post hits so close to home because they're so busy looking for the ideal candidate that they're just leaving these roles vacant. And I understand, if I had a company, if I owned a company, I would look for the most perfect, or try to look for the most perfect candidate that I would see, able to fulfill the role. But you got to understand, there's no one perfect for a role. If they have, again, if they have the drive, the ambition, and this, adequate skill set, I'm sure they would do their best to fulfill the role at its fullest, because they were given the chance, they were given the opportunity to fulfill this role. And if they're as passionate as they portray they are, or they say they are on paper during the interview, I am quite confident that they will be able to fulfill the role and prove the hiring manager and the recruiters wrong. And the second thing that comes to mind when I see that these companies repost the same role over and over is that, what is that saying about your company that you keep reposting these roles over and over again in a month's time, in a week's time? Like, I feel as though that's not I feel that that's a negative. I feel that's some sort of a negative perception. That, you know, what is it? Why is it that you have had? You know what? And if I think if I were to go back to my my job search application, I may be able to find those roles still vacant, or they're still reposting it. But my point is that in now we're if I were to find them, that puts it at a year. That puts it at a year now, a little bit more than a year. We're in October 2020. I'm pretty sure if I were to find those roles, now we're going into a year of those roles being vacant. But what does that tell about a company? Maybe they get these roles fulfilled, and then either the employee quits, or the employer terminates the employee. But what does that say about a company? Is like your retention on your employees, like, you know, what are you asking of them, and are they far fetched, or are they close to impossible? Now I'm just speculating, but me seeing these roles vacant for almost a year, it really is a blessing in disguise that I have not gotten a call or an offer or even, you know, asked for an interview. It's a blessing in disguise because now I see that, hold on, this role's been vacant for a year. Why has it been vacant for a year? I mean, they can tell me the truth, or they can just, you know, sweep it under the rug. I don't know. But it really puts a bad taste in my mouth. If I see these roles being vacant for so long, what are the expectations too much? Are they putting too much pressure on their employees that these roles be vacant over and over again? It really makes me think. And it's one of those things that I'm careful now, and I'm aware, and I'm vigilant, because even fine, if I don't get, you know, hired by a company who's, you know, posting these roles over and over again, I'm going to consider that a blessing, because something tells me that you all are asking for too much from your employees, and who knows, maybe you're not compensating them fair enough, that these roles are constantly vacant over and over again. Again, at least 6 to 9 months, I saw these two roles vacant, and I saw them being posted on these job search websites and apps. It really makes me think that, you know, what is going on in that company that they cannot retain employees, or they cannot find employees to fulfill those roles, because I feel as though they're asking for too much and giving too little. Now, let me shed some light on, you know, the light of the end of the tunnel type of thing. There's this one post that I came across, and this is like maybe a couple of days after Bridget's post. So a guy named Christopher Hummel, he's a founder and CEO of Fit Team Global. He posted, quote, "We hired someone with zero experience. We thought he would be a great fit with our culture, so we took a chance. He has since been promoted twice. Sometimes people just need a chance." End quote. I cannot express how much I wish every recruiter out there, every hiring manager out there had Christopher's point of view of just giving people a shot, especially those who radiate passion, ambition, and just this will to prove you wrong, prove the hiring managers wrong, you know, prove the skeptics wrong. Because there are people out there who grind every day trying to get better, trying to keep up with the industry, keeping up with the competition, because there are so many talented people out there. They wake up every day, get behind their keyboard, and they think to themselves, what can I do today to stand out? What can I do today that will put me on a different pedestal from the other talent and the competition that I'm going against? Because I really want to show these companies that I am who they're looking for. And big props to Christopher, who has an understanding of people out there who just need a chance to prove to the world that, hey, I can bring to the table what you're asking for. I may not have the professional experience as John Doe or Jane Doe over there, but I tell you what, with, you know, enough guidance and some patience, I can get to where you need me to be, and I can guarantee you that. That's the type of ambition a self-taught developer has. We just did not wake up one day and say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to start learning how to code, whether this takes off or not. Who cares? You know, it's just something to keep me busy during the day. No. You know, self-taught developers envision themselves being successful one day in a company, and in turn making that company successful. We just do not wake up one day deciding, oh, I'm going to waste my time on this, and I'm going to spend so much money on this, you know, training and courses online or boot camps, just so, you know, it can go down the drain. No, we invested our own free time and our hard-earned money to develop a skill set that companies out there are looking for. Many of us have this skill set, and businesses are just turning the other cheek on us. And it's very frustrating. Very frustrating. And I understand. I understand many of you go through this day in and day out. I know, because I'm there with you. I know how it is. I know how it is to submit an application and get rejected. Not even get called. They see that you have no bachelor's degree. They see that you have no prior professional experience, and they just put you in this pile that pretty much a rejected pile. Don't even give you a call. Don't even send you an email to say, hey, let's just, you know, chat for a while. Let's, you know, get to know each other. Let's see what you know. Let's see if you're a good fit for our company. Not even, you know, they don't take the time to get to know you. And that is frustrating, and I understand. Now, while all this might seem very discouraging, all these rejections of trying to land that dream job, that dream role of finally having all this time invested into developing your software development skill set, all this money that you invested, all I can say is continue shooting your shot. Continue applying. Continue developing your skill set. Continuing waking up in the wee hours of the morning. Get behind that keyboard. Type away. Code away. Take a chance on that feature that you want to implement in your website or in your app. Just power through it. Power through the struggle of the rejections, but don't let that discourage you from shooting your shot and applying to as many applications as you can. Even if it's the one that have the labels of senior developer, even if it's the ones that have or that are looking for 6, 7, 8, 10 years of experience, take a shot. Shoot your shot. There's an, I don't know where the origin of this quote is from or who said it, but it goes as this: you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And that is so true. And that's why I implore you, continue applying. Hit that apply button. Continue developing your skill set. No matter how hard it is to wake up and see all these rejections in your email of applications that didn't even go to the hiring manager, continue to do so. Because one day, when you least expect it, you're going to get that reply saying that they want to talk to you, or you're going to get that phone call where they want to set up and chat with you, get to know you, get to know what you know. Even if, you know, if they ask you your strong points or your weak points, be honest. That's what they're looking for. Be honest. And who knows? They might be the company that they're willing to take a shot on you, because who knows, they probably saw Christopher's post and were inspired, and now they are, you know, they turned a whole new leaf and are wanting to hire developers with little to no experience. There are companies out there that do that. They hire people with little to no experience of software development because they offer in-house training. They pretty much mold you into what their clients are looking for, which is an awesome thing, because if you've been studying and learning software development, you already have an upper hand. Because if you get hired by companies like this and you tell them, hey, I already have software experience, you know, software development experience, they're going to take an even bigger chance on you because you already have an idea of what software development is, what's expected of you, and therefore they know you'll be even more qualified and successful when they do offer these training programs. So again, just continue applying to these jobs, because you never know. You just never know. All right, so let me switch gears and just give you an update on my part. I don't know if I've disclosed this previously, but I work in the oil and gas industry. I work a crazy, crazy schedule. I work 2 weeks out of the month. I work 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. But typically, I'm either working during the day or working at night. So 1 month I'm working during the day. Next month I'm working at night. So typically by the time you all are going into work, I'm just getting out of work. Because of night schedules, you know, it's kind of hard for me to stay up and continue working on my side projects, because after 12 hours and at 10 a.m., all I want to do is sleep. I just want to knock out. And so it's kind of hard for me to, you know what? Hard. I remember that word. I threw it out my vocabulary when I started learning the code, and I started using the word challenging. It's a challenge to stay up and stay motivated to work on my my projects, and also this podcast. Now, the thing is, I really have enjoyed recording these podcasts because it allows me to vent, and it allows me to share because I know there are many of you that are going through the same struggle. So it feels good to give this passion of mine of coding and this struggle of mine a voice. And just because I know there are many of you out there that are going through the same thing. So I really do like enjoying, I really like recording these podcasts. It's just that when I do night schedules, it's kind of challenging to fit time to record these podcasts. But rest assured, excuse me, I do enjoy recording them and sharing with you all. And with that being said, just a quick update on this app I'm working on. I know for sure I mentioned it before. It's just an app that helps me and fellow Houstonians find their new favorite crawfish place. Since I finished my night schedule last Wednesday, oh boy, I don't even know. It's the 20th right now, whatever date it was. Last Wednesday, that's when I finished. So basically, I've been off for about 6 days now. I've been working on my my app, this particular app, and I'm using a Swift UI. Now, the interesting part is that I only chose to use Swift UI because I worked on the on an app that shows the COVID-19 confirmed cases, recoveries, and fatalities. And that app itself was full-on Swift UI. And the flow of how that app was written, I knew I can just tweak the code to where I can develop this particular app of finding local crawfish vendors. So I started using Swift UI. Now, tell you what, that was way outside my comfort zone because I am so used to UIKit. It is what I started learning 5 years ago. So I was a bit timid on making this a full-blown Swift UI project. But after completing the COVID-19 trace app that I put together, I was more comfortable making my personal project of, you know, searching for crawfish vendors a 100% Swift UI project. And what I learned about the COVID-19 project that I worked on is that I was blown away on how simple it was to create what people might look at as tables or table views and cells. It was just a lot more simple. And I was so excited to make it a full-blown Swift UI project. My own project itself. And one of the things I had to really look into and how to use are VStacks, HStacks, and now as of lately ZStacks. One of the things that I wanted to do was for every restaurant entry, I wanted the background image of that related restaurant to be a background image, and then in front of it, I wanted the restaurant details. Now, I use VStacks and I use HStacks to display that text, that string data. Now, the one thing that I was lacking on and trying to figure out how to implement was that image of the related restaurant. Now, this image is derived from a URL that is passed from the API. So I created an image class, a downloader class, where it grabs the URL and it downloads the image. And I created a struct where it grabbed that image and it displayed it in its own UI image property. Now, I was trying to apply that property within a background element for the VStack. Now, I was running into some errors, and I was just reading and watching so many videos on it that it was just blowing me away that it wasn't working out how I thought it would, even though I had watched so many videos and read so much documentation on it. And it brings me back to the previous episode where I said it's okay to ask for help, right? I said that last time. It's okay to ask for help. So that's what I did. I'm in this one group in Discord, and I asked, I put the issue I was having, what I was expecting, and errors I was getting, and that it wasn't working out the way I was hoping it would. And that's when somebody said, hey, have you tried ZStack? Try the ZStack. And I hadn't used ZStack. I've heard of it, but I've just never used it or implemented it. So I looked more into it, and I was just like blown away on how versatile that is. Now, just a quick explanation. VStack just puts your elements, your text, your images, you know, your whatever UI properties in a vertical alignment on top of each other. Horizontal stacks or H stacks, they put these elements side by side to each other. A Z stack uses the 3D stack, where it just stacks them up on top of each other. Now, that's what I was looking for, because I needed this image to be a background image and for it to be behind the text, the restaurant details of entry downloaded from the API. And I must have asked my question probably about 6 in the morning, and this guy replied back in, you know, about 10 minutes time, saying, hey dude, use the ZStack. So I was like, of course. And I knew what he was talking about because I had read it before, but I had just never used it. I've never implemented it. I've just worked with VStacks and 8stacks. But this was an opportunity for me to finally use ZStack. Sure enough, I used ZStack. It took me a couple hours to align all the elements, because when I applied the ZStack, it just pretty much it just threw all the elements out of whack. So I had to use some padding, some alignments here and there. But, you know, maybe about in a couple hours time, I was able to design it to how I envisioned it. And I was able to, thankfully, make the image as a background. So I have that model view now set up. And I couldn't be more happier to figure it out quickly. But I feel as though I was able to figure it out quickly. One, because, again, I asked for help. Two, because of how I see now how simple Swift UI is, and how it's just an awesome thing. I can't believe I was so, I guess, terrified of it, because I was so used to UIKit, and you know, I guess I didn't want to leave that comfort zone I was in, because I remember a year ago when Swift UI was announced. And I was like, oh God, I just got comfortable with UIKit. Now Apple's coming out with something new. I got to learn that. And I just felt, you know, pressured, and I just feel like, you know, that was something else that I had to learn now. I felt like as though I was starting over. I felt as though I was back where I was 5 years ago, learning UI kit. But it's so awesome to know and to feel that I know UI kit so well that it was easy for me to understand Swift UI and the structure, the coding structure, and how it's trying to make iOS developers' jobs simpler, simply because of their new, you know, paradigm code. And it's just, I laugh at myself because a year ago I was like terrified of it, I guess. And I just did not want to learn something new. But guess what? That reinforced that as a developer, to be a good developer, we have to keep up. We have to stay up to date, because technology is constantly evolving, and it will continue to do so. And as developers, I understand now, as developers, we have to continue developing ourselves as well, our skill set. And it was a proud moment for myself. It was a hell of an accomplishment that I was able to understand Swift UI and how it works over UI kit. And now I am more comfortable with it. I'm not as terrified of it now. And with that being said, I hope to have more of an update for you on the next episode, episode 5. Now, last but not least, I'm pretty excited for this coming Thursday, which would be the 22nd of October. I have an upcoming one-on-one career planning phone call with DevSlopes Academy. DevSlopes is pretty meaningful to me because they are one of the companies that I bought courses off of Udemy way back when I started learning Swift and iOS development. If I'm not mistaken, I think I bought 2 courses from them, and they were pretty awesome. The instructors, named Mark Price and Johnny B, they were so fun to learn from. They made learning iOS development really fun, really engaging. And it was probably the best money I could spend on their courses. I have this one-on-one. I believe the guy we'll be talking to is Nathan, and I pretty much signed on just to have a chat with him. Maybe they can help me on see where I'm going wrong, see where I could improve in, and landing a iOS development role at a company. I'm looking forward to it because I'm always I always have an open mind to improve where I can to make myself marketable and landing an iOS development position. So that one-on-one call will take place this Thursday, the 22nd, at 2 in the afternoon. And it's gonna be a 45-minute call, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'll make sure to jot down as much notes as I can, so I can pass that on into the next episode. All right, everybody, that's gonna do it for this episode. I really hope I reached out to some of you, if not all of you, on this one. Again, keep coding, keep grinding, keep improving yourself. Because in the end, it's going to be worth it. So until next time, happy coding.